Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haysen from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday 9 to 10. I think it's Sunday.
It's Sunday morning.
Sunday 9 to 10.
Well, a lot of people listen to this on podcasts. So
then it's not Sunday.
We don't require them to listen to it on Sunday, just as long as they're listening.
Unless it's a coincidence and they're really listening on Sunday from 9 to 10. Then we're accurate on both the podcast and the radio.
You know.
Blew your mind there, didn't I?
It'll sound better if you listen to the podcast Sunday morning 9 to 10 on the way to church.
That's right.
So, what's up, Patrick?
There you go.
Not How much. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Let me guess, you're about to go on vacation.
Yeah, I think I just got approval for that about an hour ago.
I like how you floated that out there.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those non-refundable places, you know what I mean? It probably should be do a little more planning ahead.
Well, I think the weather is ready.
It has been
cold. You're going to go snow skiing. I think the United States of America has gotten the places that generally get snow in the mountains or have been getting snow. So.
No, I agree. And it has been cold here. TJ and I were just talking about that. I think it's supposed to warm up a little bit in the QC by the end of the week. But goodness gracious.
This is the first day in about six I hadn't worn long johns, and I'm regretting it. my little scrawny legs over here. I need some skibbies.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
You want the tall socks.
You know, the other day I put my long johns on. I thought these are a new pair of long johns.
Yeah.
Reagan ordered me off of Amazon. I put them on. I was like, man, these are baggy and saggy. And then about an hour later, I said, I guess I'll just do with what I got to do. It's cold. About an hour later, I went in the restroom. I realized I had them on backwards. I said, no wonder they so baggy.
No. Did it have a tag?
You're
past
I was
tag.
In a hurry.
I understand.
I'm past looking
I understand.
For tags.
I understand.
That's what Knox does.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know how – I got nothing to say there, so all right.
Well, I was looking on my phone because taking Ford to school this morning,
yeah.
We left before the girls. Tatum now drives, Tatum, Rowan, and Piper.
Yeah.
And we sent Mama at the stoplight, we sent her a text with her I love you picture and said the early birds. And then I said, ka-ka-ka-ka-kia! And he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what is that?
And I was like, that's what the early bird says. You got to say it. He's like, I'm not saying it. So I typed to Reagan. Reagan has still not asked. It's been about 4 or 5 hours. She has still not asked why I typed to her, ka, 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 kia. Yeah,
how does one spell that?
I spelled it, I contemplated
like
spelling it with I contemplated spelling C-H-I-A, ka, ka, ka,
all right,
kia. But I did it with a hard K.
Like a Kia, like the car at the
yeah,
end?
Yeah, that's what I did. I
All
was
right,
advertising.
Check. There
I didn't
you go.
Realize we were promoting Kias.
There it is.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think they make those jokers down in Georgia, don't they?
Ka-ka-ka-Kia. I was doing it more like a bird, though. Ka-ka.
I understand.
Yeah.
I got it.
So,
well, how's the driving going? Tatum.
I don't want to jinx my daughter, but she's doing very well. I'm very proud of her. I've talked a little bit about it in the last couple of shows. It's nerve-wracking. You don't know till you know, and I try to be very reflective on that in life. As a young person, as you know, hopefully you get better as you get older. It's easy to point fingers and place blame and say, "How did they do that? What are they crazy?" And then you get older. Then later on in life, you experience it, and then you reflect and you say, "Man, I might have should have kept my thoughts to myself," you know. So I have a lot of respect for parents that have been through their kids turning 16 or so and driving, getting their license, and going off on their own. I can't even fathom my child leaving home and going to college. I can't even think about that right now. I'm gonna just deal with one of my five driving.
There you go.
But it's really cool. I tell you, she's done well. And what's really cool is to see her and my other two daughters, Rowan and Piper, get along and ride together. And I've asked them on the side behind Tatum's back, how's Tatum driving? They're like, she's driving really good.
They know better.
Oh, they've already been.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Nah, they're like, we'll lose the ride.
But you remember, I'm sure, like when Travis got his license when you were a kid, and I remember when my brother got his license, and there, you know, there were similar age differences. I mean, that was like a big deal. It was like, wait, we can go on our own? Like,
Travis didn't take me
he
anywhere.
He didn't take anywhere?
No. That was, no.
My brother had a silver Taurus as a hand-me-down from my dad, and we would take that Joker out and get ice cream and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
I do know this. Piper was asking me the other day, she said, did you ever driven a stick? And I was like, yeah. I drove the dump truck from the time I was 16 to 20. It was always a stick. I said, hold on. My first car was a stick. That's
right.
All I ever drove for the first 4 or 5 years. She's like, huh? It's just so relative. You know, she doesn't understand that. What? But I remember I turned 16 June the 6th. I got my license out more than the second half of the day. I drove the dump truck around Charlotte, running into trees and stuff.
Had your arm hanging out the side? Yeah,
I definitely did that.
I wonder what percentage of the American population at this point can drive a stick, a straight drive. It's got to be single digits. I mean, no one can. I mean, think about it. Is a straight drive anymore.
I think it's fun to drive.
I love driving a stick.
I like to rev it up and pop a little rubber. You know? The reason why she asked me, well, I guess she's thinking about driving because she rides around with Tatum. But that was this little lowrider truck that somebody had souped up, and they kept popping the gear going, wing, wing.
Yeah.
I said, listen to them grind them gears. And that's what she's like, you ever drive a stick? Like, I had a lowrider. No, I didn't have a lowrider.
Did
I'm
you?
Kidding.
That's when you had. I know your past.
I did not have a lowrider. I had a regular old Mitsubishi Montero. It had some speakers
Montero's
in it.
Not, yeah, we talked about speakers before.
The 2-door had a tachometer in it.
That was a status symbol back in the day.
Your
wattage that you were putting out.
1,200 amps.
Yeah, there you go.
The exact number on my Kenwood. But I can't imagine how I sounded at stoplights. My poor father. God rest his soul.
Well, tee up our guest, man. This is exciting.
We have Paul Little with us. Paul Little is a dear lifetime friend. Most all of my grown life, I've been hanging out with Paul. And Paul is out here, has a wonderful story. He's out here doing the Lord's work. He's an entrepreneur. He's a businessman. He's just a wonderful person. Can't wait to hear what he's got to say. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back. We cut up, have a little fun. Trent is reminiscing or prognosticating on Tatum going to college.
No, we weren't talking about going to college. We're talking about
driving. You said you didn't want to talk about
I'm
that.
I'm proud of her. She's learning to play golf.
Put you on the spot there. Now, that's great. Who's can she beat you in golf?
No, she can't.
Are y'all betting shark's teeth?
No, we aren't. No, she's just learning. She played golf on the golf team last year. Eric Clay, he needs to come on the radio. He's coach, volunteer coach at the school. Great guy. Has really helped give her some confidence. And right now she's not playing a sport at school. She doesn't play basketball. Rowan and Piper both play basketball. She is doing first tee 2 days a week.
Cool.
So that's really cool. Great program provided for youth of America. I think that's a wonderful asset that the United States has.
I agree. Well, you mentioned Eric Clay being a great guy. We got another great guy in the studio. It's Paul Little, of a blast from the Roby past, visiting us from the Low Country. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Paul, I have a quick question for you. We have talked, I think Trent, we were like double take there. You're in your previous life, you were in computers and IT, and I wanted to ask you a question. We have talked about a fax machine that grew wings off the back of one of our former offices. Did you get called in to repair that joker?
No, not the fax machine.
No. I think it might have flown off the top steps there and hit. I didn't know if that was you.
I wonder who threw it.
I don't know.
Still a mystery. Wings.
I get a little feisty.
Still a mystery to this day.
Mm. I've calmed down a little bit in my time. Definitely people still, I guess relative to people my age I hang out with, I'm still get the nickname feisty a little bit.
Huh. I get the nickname Intense.
Yeah, you intense. You are, nah, you tight.
There you go.
So Paul came up last night, and knowing he had this recording from the Low Country down in Beaufort. I say
that's
that correct,
yes, sir? Beaufort,
because there's Beaufort in
that's
North
right.
Carolina.
Yeah, it's confusing.
And he came up, and I hope he had a good time last night and this morning, and came over mid morning this morning to the office. Saw you and David Baird and the guys, and that he used to do business with.
Yes,
and I got to ride him around. We telling some stories. We went and ate at Noble Smoke. How was it?
Yeah, it was very wonderful. It was very good.
Really good. So it's been a very special morning for me, I will say, reminiscing. Paul started with us. He started his business in 01.
Yes, sir.
And shortly thereafter, started servicing our mediocre tech platform we had it at, the Roby family. We were Andrew Roby then.
Yes, sir. A Harding place.
Yep. On Harding Place, out of the old house. And then we grew into a couple other houses, one behind us, one down, and we wired those jokers. We connected them, didn't we?
We did, and I'd forgotten that till we talked about that earlier today.
I remember those wires going across.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
We get janky at Roby. But you're very successful. You're wonderful to do business with. You're a wonderful trade partner. I say this a lot. You read these books when you're an aspiring business person as a kid, and they're like, it's all about the team, you know, the lawyers and the financial advisors that you build. You really don't understand that till you live it. Mm. But you were one of those key integral parts of our team.
Thank you.
And part of the Roby family. And about 7 or 8 years ago, you called me up.
Yes, sir.
I really wasn't dealing with you anymore from a business side.
Right.
I would see you. You would visit with me every time you come be around the office.
Yes, sir.
We had grown a friendship over the years, and but you're more so dealing with David Baird and Patrick and those guys.
Yes, sir.
Dave McGuire.
And Dave McGuire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you came sat in my office, and you told me you were selling your business.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had called you
to ministry.
Called
me into full time ministry. That's right.
And it was a shock. Because you had been such a successful and pleasant business person to do business with.
Thank you.
But testament to your witness, it is what it is, and the Lord is doing something, and let's hear what my man's got to say.
Okay. Well, you know, about a year and a half before that, maybe not a year and a half before that, but some time before that, just really felt led to reach out to a pastor and look into full-time ministry. I don't know why. You know, but I did, looked into it. You know, to be honest, at the beginning, I didn't feel like the Lord was calling me to ministry. I went halfway through this book he gave me, and it said, man, if you can see yourself doing anything else but ministry, you don't need to do ministry. I said, man, I can see myself doing a lot of things. He said, you need to finish the book. That's why I appreciate that. I thought I was doing good. You know, so I got to finish the book. Well, the Lord did indeed call us into full-time ministry. But to be very transparent, especially this time of year, I thought he was going to take me somewhere far away and cold. Because I don't really like either one of those.
Oh, yeah.
But then he was so kind and took us back to the Low Country down in Beaufort. And we had spent some time. My wife and I actually got married in that area.
Okay.
To be very transparent again, you know, because it plays into what we're able to do. We almost got divorced very quickly in that area to the point of separation papers. But the Lord saved our marriage. And now this coming up June, we've been married 34 years. A wonderful wife.
Amen.
Wonderful family. So blessed. But it's just so great to be able to go back and love on those young Marines and sailors in that area, encourage them in their marriages. You know, the military is a very challenging place for marriages. And so it's just wonderful to be able to encourage them. And, you know, and I am serving the Lord, so it's wonderful to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And because that's just the only thing I have anything good from is because it came from Him.
And I will say, I've talked about this for the last 8.5, 9 years we've done the radio show. My father was a Marine.
Amen.
Served two tours in Vietnam, and you and him hit it off very well.
Yes,
we did. You knew how to communicate with my dad. even though I don't think he cared about computers or our IT he did or not. Networks.
He didn't have to. But I mean, that's what he had us for.
He liked to sit there and chew the cud for a few minutes, telling old stories. I can see him grinning, sitting in the front of our old office Harding Place in those two green chairs. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And so you're getting to help Marines now.
Right.
And you served. Tell us about your tour and tell us about your years in the Marines as a Marine.
Okay. Well, you know, I started back in 1986. I'm not going to run us from 1986 to present. But I started in 1986, and I did the same thing that some of the young Marines that we're honored to serve alongside and underneath the chaplains with. You know, I went to church. You know, I was there, and that was a hard place, and so I went to church. And as we still get the opportunity to serve those even today. And then after a few years, I felt led before even boot camp that, man, I think I'd like to be a drone instructor one day.
Yeah.
And a man that's like my second father, he told me, he said, when I got back from boot camp, he said, man, he said, you still want to be a drone instructor? I said, yeah, I think I do. And so the Lord honored me and allowed me to go back in 89 to 91 and serve him as a Marine Corps drone instructor in that area. So I'm grateful for that. And so I have some experiences there, and that's when actually my wife and I, you know, almost we got married when I was a drone instructor. And like I said, I think mentioned just a moment ago, almost very quickly divorced. And but it's just, once again, it's a very hard life, but it's so good to have that experience, to be able to go back in the Lowcountry area, you know, and serve in that Beaufort area, you know, where the Lord let our marriage start and then where he allowed it to continue. And actually, we used to take our daughters down there on vacation, starting in 1999, them vacation. Yeah. And they fell in love with the area, and one of them got married. And actually, I said we almost lost our marriage. I had a marriage counselor there, still good friends with them. And so our youngest daughter got married in her backyard.
Oh, wow.
Right there on the water.
Unbelievable.
So it's just amazing how the Lord's been so kind to take us back to there.
So, Where did you grow up?
Grew up right here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, I didn't know here
in Charlotte, right here on the east side. Went to Independence High School. Grew up in Hickory Grove area.
Okay.
Grew up going to Hickory Grove Baptist Church, which was my home church still. We consider pretty much a home church up here, and, you know, really, really love them, and, you know, great folks. And, like I said, went to Independence and graduated. And we won't talk about where I started my college because it was not Carolina.
I will. We need to go pay some bills. This is awesome.
So cool.
Reminiscing. I want to know why you chose to become a Marine.
Okay.
When we return, and I will say I went to Harding High School. I grew up on the west side. You an east sider.
Yes.
I'm a west sider. Let's just go ahead and lay that on the table.
Yes.
While you're contemplating these commercials that you're going to check out. Paul Little's with us today telling old stories, reminiscing, and talking about what's going on in current events. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. If you missed the last few segments, go back, check it out. You can podcast us any old time, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the fun places you can find podcasts.
Yeah, social media, baby. Let's go.
We got Paul Little, man.
How is this? How cool is this?
I know.
Now you know how I've been feeling all day.
Yeah, reminiscing, man. Yep. It's awesome. Paul, you feel like we've grown up at all, or are we still kind of like, you're like, oh, man, I got to go deal with these guys again?
And you were awesome when I had a chance to serve you. It was such an honor. I mean, I'm not just saying that because y'all got me here. Y'all are just some great folks. We had some wonderful clients that we had honored of serving. So it's just an honor to be sitting here talking to you, man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that.
We had a customer from Atlanta. Garrett Vandegrift came on the show a year and a half ago,
mid 22,
and came up to visit Charlotte. And I've never met him in person. And I talked to him the first time we were introduced to each other. We did a project for him. He came on the show. Really nice guy. And they had a meeting yesterday. And I told Patrick, I said, I don't want to meet. Y'all already have a bunch of people at this meeting, but I want to come by and shake this fellow's hand.
Yes, sir.
And I can't stay long. And I don't want it to be weird. Patrick's like, no, please come over. And I came over and shook the fellow's hand, and he was being very flattering, talking about our business and the Roby family and how it feels like family. I said, man, we just get to serve you.
Amen.
And that's what it's about. And you speak that way. And I think it's important to speak that way, because if you live your life serving others, it'll come back around.
Yes.
To add a little bit about that, Trent, we were there with Garrett's daughter, Allie, and her husband Nick, which we always talk about just being able to have the ability to work second and third generation.
Mm.
And you get off the phone, you're working with friends is really what it boils down to. And I think people want to do business with people they respect and they like. That's really cool. I'm glad you came. And the same way about Paul, I think you were alluding to maybe in the first segment or the beginning of the second segment when Paul, was called by the Lord to go do what he's doing.
Yes.
It was a hard day for us too. We felt like we were losing part of the family here. But obviously, Paul, you're doing something really wonderful for a lot of young folks down in the Lowcountry, which is so admirable. In the last segment, you were talking a little bit about how the Marines and Paul's history with 1986. And where'd you say you started college? You didn't ever say that.
I went to NC State. Yeah. Both of my brothers graduated from NC State.
Right,
but,
cool.
But one of my younger brothers, both of his kids went to Carolina. So they've tried to offset that.
Okay.
Right. Yes, sir.
Got it.
So we got that.
Well, I tried to pull the NC State switcherooski there right before I went to college, and my dad was like, heck no. I've watched you wear that blue your whole life, son.
You're going
to
stick it out.
He said, you're not going to wake up and be 30 and be mad at me because I didn't make you go to Carolina.
How about that?
Man. Well, Trey, I think you were going to talk to Paul about why he chose the Marines and how he got started.
Yeah. So why the Marines for you?
Truly, going back even to my church, so many things have happened at my church. But I remember being probably early teens, maybe 10 or 11, and there was this Marine that came to church and had his dress blues on, and I said, man, I think I'd like to have them one day. And then, truly, I did start college, went through 2 years of college, and was thinking, man, I was working, going to school. I was like, there's got to be a better way. So I called up my recruiter. I literally called him. He told me, he said, when you come down here, you see me. You see Sergeant Cole, nobody else. But I had 2 years of college and called him and really wanted to, going back to service, serving your clients and then serving. That's what I wanted to do. I still am very patriotic and truly want to serve. And so I just felt like, man, if I'm going to serve, I want to do it with the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And it's just, Lord just blessed. So I did not retire. I just did 8 years in the Marine Corps. But I loved every bit of it. If it wasn't for the family separation, I'd still be there. My father died when I was 7 years old, so I wanted to be there for my kids. And I would have missed the whole first year and the birth of my youngest daughter.
Oh, man.
And so I felt like that was the Lord telling us it was time to go. And But I'm so honored again. I have people ask me after the Marine Corps, they said, Paul, do you miss the Marine Corps? I do, but the biggest thing I've always missed is the people.
Yeah.
Just like the people that y'all were serving. You develop those relationships and that camaraderie. And so then the Lord was so kind to send me back and let me serve with these guys and gals again and encourage them, And so it's just, he just couldn't have put me in a better place. So I'm just thrilled that he's allowed us to do it. I had somebody ask me yesterday. So when you going to leave or when you going to retire, I can draw my last breath down there and I'll be just fine.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. No, I mean, you can feel the enthusiasm and the excitement in your voice. I mean, just to kind of, you have to see a little of yourself in these kids as they're coming through.
Oh, absolutely.
I can just only imagine that. I mean, I don't really know what you would compare it to, but I mean, these kids are going through the hardest thing they've ever done in their entire life. I mean, that's fair to say for most part, but I mean, physically and mentally.
That's a good thing. That's a good question. Many of them are.
Yeah.
But, you'd be surprised how many of them have gone through such rough stuff already.
Okay, makes sense.
I mean, I remember having two young ladies down there, and they were both homeless before they came into the Marine Corps.
Wow.
And one of them got injured and wasn't able to continue on, and her sister was able to continue on, and she was so tore up about hoping to find her sister when they got back home. I mean, there's so many of these young people that are coming in willing to serve our nation and wanting, desiring to serve our nation that have been through so much already.
Wow.
But, yes, it is a very difficult place when we're first starting, for sure. Yes, sir.
I guess we don't think about those kind of stories, and that's really part of the stuff that you all are ministering to, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I follow your ministry.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And it means a lot to Reagan and I. You and your wife, Kathy, are this together.
So yeah, we get the letters.
I mean, literally the way we work and run our business in the Roby family is it's a family affair.
Yes, sir.
So if you are married or your significant other, your spouse needs to be involved, in my opinion. In a successful career, whatever you're serving.
Yes, sir.
But we follow it, and it's been really cool, and it's been a blessing for my five children to get to hear stories. And
yes.
And occasionally you'll send an update of what's going on and some prayer requests.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll share that with my children and leave a letter sitting around for a couple of days. I think I've told you that before. And taking Ford to school today, I told Ford that you were coming into town and I was going to get to visit with you. I hadn't seen you in years. And it was cool that he knew who you were. And he's like all excited. He said, "That's awesome. He's coming on the radio." And then he even said, he got so into it, he's like, "Are you going to make my basketball game since you're doing the radio show?"
How about
like,
that?
Yeah, I'm going to make your basketball game tonight, buddy. So it's really cool to be able to witness in my life and in others' life through what you're doing.
Yes.
So it's an exponential return, and serving others makes success and happiness. And I talk often about how there's no cap on happiness. It can grow and grow and grow. There's no cap on love. It can grow and grow and grow. There's no limit to prospering, really. I mean, people think that. People think that if somebody else has it, I can't have it. We can all get along.
That's right.
Happy.
Well said.
So, what did Kathy think about you coming up here?
Oh, man. I didn't know where you were going, what Kathy thought.
Because
Kathy, bless her heart, when I told her I thought we were called into full-time ministry, she said, I don't know if I think so.
Yeah.
And so the Lord did some work in that and then told her we were called into crew military, and she's like, I'm not sure about that one either. But Lord continued to work. And he's continuing to work. You know, you talk about serving together. You know, we truly couldn't do this without serving together. It's so, you know, I say that we almost lost our marriage, you know, right there at the beginning. But I tell some of the folks that I serve, I wasn't just going to lose a marriage. I was going to lose a best friend. You know, Kathy had been my best friend. We dated off and on. She would tell you more off than on for 7 years. But we used to drive whoever we were dating crazy a little bit because we were still best friends. I mean, and so I was losing a lot in her. And I'm just so grateful that Lord was so kind to save our marriage and to allow us to continue to serve him together because she is a special, special, almost bring tears in my eyes, lady. And she's a great mom, great grandmother. She just does a tremendous job. So it's an honor to be able to serve together.
What do you think about that, Patrick?
Wow. So cool.
He's getting more brownie points than I'm getting.
So much.
That's what I know.
He answered that about as well as anybody I think we've ever had on the show. But I think we got a little more time with
Mr. Riddle.
Yeah,
so we're going to get Paul on the last segment. We don't have any Make-A-Wish stuff to do or anything right now. We love Make-A-Wish. But we're going to talk about Paul. I got a funny story to tell. I've been holding for this last segment. So Paul Little's on here talking about serving, talking about the Marines, and talking about his ministry. On the At Home with Roby show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last few segments, go back. We got Paul Little on the show.
Check us out. All social media outlets.
There you go. You're doing a little wiki there. What was that? I saw a little hand
Facebook.
I was wondering what you were doing.
LinkedIn.
Instagram.
That's what we doing.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
You were just doing the hand. I got it. All right.
I'm getting hype.
I hear you.
So,
but you said you got a funny story.
Yeah,
what you got?
So, Christian, we had to get together around the holidays, and Christian McCall, who runs the radio show, runs our PR marketing. I told Paul this earlier. She told me yesterday, I was telling her about Paul coming up town. I was kind of excited. And she said, yeah, I want to meet him in person. She said, at the get together that you had, I met a lot of the people that I know. She's like, but I've never met in person. She and kudos to Christian.
Yeah.
This year I'm gonna come by and physically shake their hand and put a face with the name and get to know everybody. That's my goal. I was like, well, that is awesome. So I said, let me tell you about Paul. He's tight. And that is a compliment.
I appreciate that, man.
Low percentage of body fat. Yeah, it's a
very low percentage of body fat. Very in shape. He's very. He presents very formally,
yep.
Very respectfully, which is all compliments. Mm-hmm. And I always really put together. I even ironed my shirt today because I knew I was coming to see Paul. When in Rome.
You lie like a rug.
My wrinkle release spray I didn't think was good enough for Paul. So I broke the iron out, and then I got stuck by the train. But
that's why you got that sweatshirt on.
So I was telling her about Paul and the story, and then Paul came by, and Paul has a shaved head. And she said her father-in-law has a shaved head. And I go to church with George McCall, Chris Jonathan's dad. Mm-hmm. And we talked about George. And then we go eat at Noble Smoke. And who in the heck walks in other than George comes over? Out of all people who we had talked about 30 minutes prior. And then his son Jared, who works in their family business with them.
Yep.
Just started.
Formerly of
back
J.E.
with
Dunn.
The family.
Yeah.
Who is a Marine, walks over and shakes my hand. I said, he's a Marine.
Paul, that's a big old Marine.
Oh, no.
That guy is a big old Marine.
Oh, he's a good young man.
He's a great guy.
And then they had another fellow that works with them.
Officer Marine.
I never met him. He's a Marine. I said, look, this is crazy. How about that?
That was awesome, man.
Yeah.
And he got, you know, the ministry I served with the military.
Yeah.
We're allowed to serve underneath the chaplains down there. And he actually was a beneficiary of that.
No way.
Early on.
Yeah.
He remembered, you know, coming to services where we get to serve.
That's so cool.
So it was very encouraging to be able to speak.
It was
right
really.
End of lunch. It was
incredible. It was really a neat moment.
Yes.
It was special.
You were feeling you were feeling pretty safe at that moment, huh?
I feel safe. Yeah. I'm confident in my safety. Let me clear this up. But yeah, Paul helps me feel safe. Safer than you do.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Paul and I jumped in the truck before we went to lunch and talked about Moorhead and rode down Wilkeson. And it's been 7 or 8 years since he's been to Charlotte, but since he served in our neighborhood on a daily basis. And I think you were blown away at what's transpired over there, Howard.
Oh, it's just growing. And it's just amazing.
Over here, we're on Moorhead.
It's crazy.
Now.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally different from when you were here before, I'm sure.
I absolutely remember one Julian Price place.
Oh, yeah.
But anything else around here, no.
No.
But it is just really amazing how it's doing, just doing so well and thriving and growing.
And WBT, where we're in the studio, is legendary Charlotte,
yep.
Southeast U.S. And if your kid grew up in Charlotte, you didn't have cable. This is what you watched, right?
Absolutely. Those three channels, as we talked about a minute ago, with those rabbit ears. And your remote, I was the remote control.
Yeah.
Get up and change that channel, son.
I've been one of those before.
Absolutely.
I've been one of those before.
In fact, I don't think the signal's coming in well enough. You need to adjust them rabbit ears.
Usually you got a little smacking to get yourself going a little faster.
Yeah. You're not fast enough.
You.
See, that helped me in the Marine Corps. See, I got a little faster in the Marine Corps.
So what was the key to the success with the aluminum foil on the rabbit ears?
I don't think there probably ever was any. but it sure didn't look like it.
Made us all feel
served
better.
Some kind of purpose.
Made us all feel better.
Yes, made us feel better.
100% in my kitchen where we used to watch Carolina basketball when they would rival State in the mid-'80s, late-'80s.
Yes,
The J.R. Reed days.
Yeah, J.R. Reed, Monroe, Corciani, all those. Yeah, Joe Wolf, Jeff Lebo, all those days. We had the 12-inch TV, black and white,
yes.
With the dial,
yes.
With rabbit ears and aluminum foil. Caked on the end of them.
Yes.
And that's how we used to watch our basketball games.
Absolutely.
That's a little different than streaming TV.
Totally different.
But see, Paul's a techie. You got all the streaming down pat, don't you?
I do stream. Yes, sir, I do. You're right.
Well, we stream. I think it's what you got to do now if you want to watch TV.
Yes, sir.
But I don't know how to work any of it. So I'm always like, here, find me this. And Reagan's like, now Ford and Knox can do it.
Man, yes,
so
my granddaughter can do it so well.
You're right with the streaming. DirecTV lost NBC somehow, and they're like, go get rabbit ears. Like, wait, we're going back to rabbit ears.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's crazy, though. Smart technology, the definition is if you do it, you'll learn it. It'll teach you how to get navigated.
Right. Yes.
So what I'm saying, not it'll teach you. Paul's about to fell out of his seat. But it's crazy. My four-year-old can navigate the TV stations. I
Absolutely.
Can't do it because I'm so set in my ways with those daggone rabbit ears. That dial. 3-9 and then the U on 18.
The
Let's
U.
go.
36. Oh, my gosh.
Let's go, baby. 36.
I remember.
So, Paul, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for allowing
thanks
me
so
the
much.
Honor to be here.
And yeah. thanks for being a servant leader.
Thank you.
You've done it well. You did it well when you served us in the technology and the computer side of our business, and you're doing it better now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Send our love to Kathy.
Absolutely.
Crew Military, Paul Little. Listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thank you for listening.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.